That we have that to look forward to, amen? The glory land. Well, it's good to see you here tonight. I'm glad to be here and doing a lot better the last couple of days, and so thank the Lord for that. I was beginning to wonder if I was going to get better. You feel that way after it lingers on and on and on and on, and so I'm thankful to be among the living today and be feeling well. Tonight, we're going to start a mini-series. And, you know, this last series we were looking at a love gone wrong, addressing the idols of the heart. And in the end of that series, we were talking about how God is jealous. He's a jealous God. How that God is jealous for our affections, for our love, for our desires. How that He desires our exclusive devotion to Him. We didn't really get to talk too much on the jealousy of God, but you know, I honestly believe that series that we just finished was probably the best way to prepare us for our missions revival just coming up here in 2.5 weeks. Because I want you to think about it. Remember in Genesis 35 when Jacob, he told his family to bring your strange gods to me and clean yourselves. They were preparing to go to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. That's the place where God met with Jacob. And revival starts with repentance and destroying our idols. That's a biblical principle throughout. And so I really think if we're going to experience a true revival in our spiritual life and our church, we have to deal with the idols of the heart. But in this series tonight, we're going to be looking at another aspect of God's jealousy. We're going to look at His jealousy for His glory to be known among all nations. You know, I was just struck this week when I was reading Exodus, and we'll get to that a little bit later in the message, but it kind of brought me to this topic tonight because I've been praying about these next 3 Wednesday nights in preparation for our conference, how to challenge and prepare each of us for what God has for us this year at our missions conference. I really believe that one thing, God wants to do impossible things. If you've been reading in Exodus, isn't it interesting that what God called Moses to do was a totally impossible task? I mean, think about it. I mean, even after he went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said no. You know, he hardened his heart. But God, He did it. And God wants to do that. And so that's encouraging to me. But to get started, I want to ask a question. Have you ever considered jealousy as a biblical motivation for evangelism and discipleship? I know that sounds awful strange, doesn't it? I bet you never heard anyone preach on jealousy when it comes to missions. I know I haven't, but God has really challenged my heart with this thought and this question. And because what I've found in Scripture is that if the jealousy of God, or if jealousy is a motivation of God when it comes to missions, then should it not also be our motivation? I've entitled this series, Jealous for God's Glory Among All Nations. And I want you to turn tonight to our text in Psalm 96. In Psalm 96. And I just want to just say, I realize that there's not one mention of the word jealous or jealousy in this psalm. And I'm completely aware of that. Even though it's not spoken here, it is found here. There's a lot of times jealousy, you're going to see the jealousy of God in Scripture, even though the word's not mentioned. And you'll see it as we get further through the message. You'll see what I'm talking about. So just be patient. And let's read this Psalm 96. We'll just read all 13 verses, but pay especially close attention to verse 3. He says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods," or you can say idols. "For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The Lord also shall be established in that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth." Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful missionary psalm. Some powerful truths packed in this psalm. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help me tonight. Lord, as I recognize without you, I can do nothing. I pray you'd help me to bring forth your word and this topic, this truth for the night, about your jealousy for your glory. Lord, that we might capture that and realize that we need to have that same jealousy, that godly jealousy in our own hearts. Lord, bless this, your word tonight. I pray you'd use it to challenge the hearts of your people, to encourage them. Lord, as we prepare for our missions conference here in just a couple weeks, a little further off, and we pray, Father, that you would just prepare us as a church. Prepare Brother Prater as he prepares to speak in all of our services through our conference to challenge us. And Lord, I know you've used Brother Prater in a mighty way at Fellowship Baptist. And just pray you'd prepare him and with the right messages and our missionaries that are going to be with us. Lord, we're trusting that you'd do something great, something that we need as a church, that challenge our faith and help us to be willing to walk in faith and trust you. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So being jealous for God's glory among all nations. You know, this jealousy, I want to just talk about it just for a little bit before we get into the truth that we're going to be looking at tonight. Jealousy is, most people, when they hear that word jealousy, what do you think about? I mean, a lot of people, they think of something negative, like us. It has a negative connotation to it. And it is true that there is sinful jealousy. But it's a powerful emotion. And people can do great harm in their relationships with this emotion of jealousy if it's not harnessed and kept under control, if it's not godly. You know, maybe you have the image of someone like an insecure husband that's abusive in his relationship. You know, some of those thoughts come to mind, and I will say that jealousy is certainly not something that immediately comes to our mind when we're thinking about God. Unless you've been reading Scripture carefully. I mean, if we read the Scripture, we're going to see that there is a good kind of jealousy. There's a godly jealousy. There's a sinful jealousy. This is an emotion. It's a very powerful, it's a very strong emotion. And yes, God has emotions. You know, some people may struggle with that, but God has emotions. You were made in His image. You have emotions. And so it's a very strong and very powerful emotion. And I don't know that I've ever heard in my life a single message on the jealousy of God. I've heard references to it, but I've never heard just a message on the jealousy of God. I'm sure that there's few here, if any, that have. And because it's hard for our minds sometimes to comprehend and understand. But yet in the Scripture, we really look at this. I think it was in our last message on the idols of the heart. We looked at several verses dealing with God's jealousy, but this was one of them. In Exodus 34:14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." Isn't it interesting that God even takes this as one of His divine names? That's interesting. That He chose this word as one of His divine names. And He said, because He is a jealous God. And we looked at this verse in connection to idolatry of the heart, how that God, He is jealous over us. Not in a sinful way, not in a selfish way, but in a good way. And we may not realize it, but it's for our well-being. It is for our well-being. How many of you believe worshiping idols leads to good? I mean, it doesn't. It's vanity. I mean, it's not just about God Himself when He's jealous that we don't worship idols, but it's also, there's a love aspect in it. But this verse and this concept it can be very perplexing for Christians because we think, how could a perfect, loving, patient God call Himself jealous? Because of the way we think of jealousy. We may think, is God insecure that He would be jealous? And so we're going to ask this question. What does the Bible mean when it says that God is a jealous God? And I want to just say that we're not going to answer that question in detail like I would like. I mean, today was crazy day with lots of ministry going on and things going on. And yesterday as well, just seemed like every time I would sit down and study, something would come up and I'd have to go and take care of something. You know, it's just, I was like, God, please, this is a lot of good stuff. It's going to be hard for me to just narrow this down into 3 messages. And so I'm going to do my best tonight. So be a little bit long-suffering tonight. Patient with me as well. What does it mean when it says God is a jealous God? Well, there are plenty of verses that say that, not just Exodus 34:14. Whatever it means, it cannot ever refer to or imply anything sinful in God. We know that. God is holy. I mean, I listened to the message Brother Justin preached Sunday. I mean, he's a holy God, perfectly, perfectly holy, full of perfect integrity, purity. Listen, God cannot sin and He will not sin. There's no evil in God. There's no darkness in God. So it cannot refer to anything sinful. He is never sinfully jealous. We need to make sure we understand that. He is never sinfully jealous. He is never jealous because he is needy or because he's greedy or covetous. Never. God don't need anything. God is, he told Moses, tell them, I am that I am sent you. You know, I am is God's name. Jehovah, God's name. It means the self-existent one. It means he exists in of himself, and he doesn't need anything. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need us. God is not jealous because he just takes a petty dislike to certain individuals and begrudges their achievements. No, I mean, it's nothing like that at all. To the contrary, though, we learn in the Bible that the jealousy of God is an important thing. It's a very important thing in the Bible. It's a very necessary aspect of God's majestic, holy, and loving character. It's part of God's character. It's his attribute. One of his attributes. We haven't talked about this one in Connect, but this would be a good one to study. It is an attribute of God. And by the way, it's one of those theologians call a communicable attribute. What that means is that we share in this attribute with God. There are many of those communicable attributes. Grace, mercy, love. We share in those attributes. We can love. We can show mercy. We can show grace. We can be jealous. There are some attributes of God that are not shared. He's immutable. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. Those belong strictly to God, but some are communicable attributes. Boy, that's hard to say. That's a tongue twister. But we are often guilty of the simple kind of jealousy. It's kind of like anger. You know, anger is something Jesus expressed, but yet Jesus never sinned. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. You know, oftentimes when we think of anger, we think of sinful anger. But there's a righteous anger. And we should have that. Just like there's a godly jealousy, there's a sinful jealousy. We should have the godly kind. I found 42 verses that use the word jealous or jealousy. I want to just look at a few that we didn't look at in the last message. I'm going to put them on the board because I'm going to go through them quickly, so you can just write them down if you want. Deuteronomy 32:16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. Provoked they him to anger. So you see, anger is really closely related to this jealousy. They're both emotions, strong, powerful emotions. This idolatry provoked this jealousy and anger in God in a righteous sense. Psalm 78:58. For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. So in both of these verses we just read, it had to do with idolatry. And we dealt with that in the previous series. We dealt with that in the last message, that God is jealous. It's like Christ is our groom and we're the bride. And it's a matter of faithfulness. And he's jealous. We should be faithful to him. Ezekiel 39:25 is the verse. He says, therefore, thus said the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and will be jealous for my holy name. Now, this is interesting. This is something that is new. In these verses that we read, this is a new truth. I want you to think about that God, he brought again the captivity of Jacob. They had been chastised for their sin of idolatry, but because this jealousy of God is not just a jealousy for our affections and all those things, but you know what this jealousy of God assures us of and gives us confidence of? That He loves us. And that He's going to pursue us. When we do go astray, when we do go after idols, He is going to pursue our hearts. He is so jealous, He is going to win us over. He said, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous. But notice what He says, for my holy name. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. This is very key to our message tonight, that God is jealous for His glory. His name is essentially His glory, His who He is. It's His reputation. It's His honor. So when it talks about here, He's jealous for what? His holy name, for His reputation. He's jealous for that. In Joel 2:18, then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. So again, we see jealousy would cause Him to have compassion on His people. And He says here He's jealous for His land. The land of Israel, the promise that He gave by covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so here He tells us that He's jealous for His land. The last one I want to look at is in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:22. We looked at that in our last series, that chapter. It deals with idolatry, how we're to flee idols. And He says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? He's talking about idols in this context. And so this is just a sampling of verses that refer to God's jealousy. And so I wanted you to see some of those. But we're asking the question, what is the Bible mean when it talks about God is jealous? What does it mean? I want to look at a couple of theologians, what they said. Wayne Grudem, he defines it as God continually seeking to protect His own honor. So that's just one aspect of His jealousy, by the way. But this is a true statement, but it's not a complete statement. Or it's not a complete definition, that is. His jealousy does involve this, that He is seeking to protect His own honor, His own glory. Just as we saw in Ezekiel 38:25, He was jealous for His holy name. J.I. Packer, another theologian, he said, it is His holiness reacting to evil in a way that is morally right and precious. It is a praiseworthy zeal on His part to preserve something supremely precious. I kind of like that definition. I mean, you think about it, it's His holiness reacting. It's something that's morally right and precious, and a praiseworthy zeal. And by the way, zeal is translated from the same Hebrew word and the Greek word for jealousy. I mean, it just depends on the context. They are different. They are different. Zeal is something like a determination to cause something to happen. It's not specific like jealousy. It's not. Let me just say this. Jealousy involves, it's a relational emotion, whereas zeal is not. So I like this idea. I just mentioned that. God is jealous. We should praise God tonight that He is jealous. You know, Tim asks, what are some things you can be thankful for to the Lord? We can be thankful God is a jealous God. Because the people that are in His covenant, the new covenant with Jesus Christ by His blood, Listen, God is jealous for us. He is so committed to us. He is so in love with us. He is so committed to our good. So passionate. And it's a relational emotion. Relational emotion. Meaning that there's relationship there. Meaning that there's intimacy there. There's love there. He said it's a praiseworthy zeal on his part to preserve something supremely precious. So what do you think it is that he's preserving that's supremely precious? It's you. It's me. It's those that are in his covenant, his people. He's jealous over us. That's how God views us. Supremely precious. So jealousy, I want to just share this. Or God's jealousy, it's related to three things from what I can see in the scripture and these definitions. It's related to his honor and glory. He's jealous for his honor. He's jealous for his glory. It's related to his holiness. Remember, he said he's jealous for his holy name. But it also has to do with his love. It has to do with love. Why do I say that? I want to share a quote with you. God is jealous for the devotion of his people because he has the loving heart of a father. But ultimately, because he desires to protect the honor of his name. I want you to think about that. I had to read that several times. That you have to almost read it in two parts. God is jealous for the devotion of his people. So what's that saying? God is jealous for the devotion of his people. So what he means is he's jealous for us to be wholeheartedly committed to him. That we are wholeheartedly giving him all of our love and our affections, that we're totally devoted to him, that we don't have any lovers on the side. I read one preacher put it this way, that God does not have an open relationship with anyone. And I don't know if you know what an open relationship is. It's very common today. What it is a married couple that have lovers that are known. And it allowed. It's like they have an open relationship. But listen, God doesn't have that. That's adultery, we learned in the last year. That's spiritual adultery when it comes to God. And so it's talking about he's jealous for our devotion because, why? Because he has the loving heart of a father. It's because of his love for us. That's why. But it says, but ultimately, because he desires to protect the honor of his name. See, it goes back to those three things. I mean, it's all about his honor, his glory. It's all about his holiness. It's about his love. You know, to say this in a different way that maybe help you better understand, God not only demands the faithfulness of his people because he loves them, but ultimately because he is the most glorified when they ascribe to him the honor that belongs to him alone. Think about that. When we as his people are faithful to him, when we as his people are loyal to him, when we as his people glorify him in our lives, listen, we are bringing more glory to his name. That's why he's jealous over us for that. Because it's all about his glory. It's not just about, it is about his love for us, yes. It's about our good, yes. But ultimately, it's about his name, his reputation, his glory. He saved us. He redeemed us for a praise, for an honor, for a glory to him. That's why we were saved. You know, and think about this. Why would God want to be most glorified and magnified in his people? I can think of one thing. Because he wants to be known in all the earth. He wants to be known in all the earth as God, as the only God. Have you ever thought about that? See, you see where we're leading this, these thought to missions, evangelism. God's jealous for His glory. It doesn't just end with us being devoted to Him, but it goes further than that. It goes to where it's about His name and about His honor and about His glory being known among all nations. Every key stage in salvation history in the Bible points to this, of God receiving honor and glory from all people. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. We'll go back to Psalm 96. I want you to notice the emphasis in verse 1 where he says, all the earth. He's telling, it says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord. Who? All the earth. You see, his passion is for not just Americans to know Him and to be redeemed and sing that new song. He wants all the earth to sing it. People from every tribe, tongue, nation, everywhere. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. So He wants us to do that. He wants us to show forth something. Verse 3, declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. You see, what He wants us to declare is His glory. Why? Because He's jealous for His glory. He wants people to see His glory. And He says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Now notice that one. Now it moves into give. To give the Lord what? To give Him glory and strength. Who's He talking to? All ye kindreds. He doesn't use the word all, but that's what is implied here. Ye kindreds, meaning all the different kindreds, all the different tribes, all the different tongues, and all the different languages, all the different ethnic groups, all of you kindreds, He wants you to give glory and strength to the Lord. You see this? This is a missionary psalm. This has always been looked at as a missionary psalm because it is. Give unto the Lord the glory due in His name. Bring an offering. Come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him. Now notice this again. All the earth. So who does He want to worship Him in beauty of holiness? All. He's jealous for His glory. He's jealous for His name. He wants the whole earth to know His glory. He wants the whole earth to sing. He wants the whole earth to give unto Him glory and honor. He wants the whole earth to worship. And you know, the last verse is really, should be a motivation. I mean, He's coming. He's coming to judge the world with righteousness, the people with His truth. All the people. He's going to judge. I want to read something that John Piper, he said about missions that is kind of related exactly to what we're saying here. He said, missions is the ultimate goal. I'm sorry. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate. Not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. I mean, think about it. When you get to Revelation 5, what do you see in verse 9 and 10, when you see those who have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb, they're singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." What is taking place? Worship. People from every tongue, tribe, and nation. It's going to be fulfilled one day. There's going to be fulfillment of this. That's the ultimate goal. Yes, one of the goals of missions, we want to tell the gospel. We want to see people saved. We want to make disciples, yes. But the ultimate goal for that, making them disciples of Jesus, so they worship Him. So they'll give honor to Him. So they'll give glory to Him. You know, we in America, we're such a self-centered Christianity. It's all about just salvation, just for me, so I can go to heaven. But that's all I want. Don't tell me what to do. I live my life the way I want. You're not fulfilling the goal of God. The goal of God is not for you to get a ticket to heaven. The goal of God is for you to glorify Him, for you to worship Him, for you to love Him, for you to serve Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. That's His ultimate purpose. I want to turn to another passage in Exodus. And we just read, how was it, chapter 8 today? But I want to look at chapter 7. Yesterday I was reading through this, and it just gave some fuel to my fire on this subject. I hope that you read this, but so I don't have to go into a lot of detail, but God is telling Moses to go before Pharaoh, and he told him that, "I've made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother a prophet." And but basically, he says, "But Pharaoh," verse 4, "will not hearken to you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, bring forth my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments." Now, you know, I think you're aware that the reason God sent Moses is so that He can bring His people out, to redeem them out of Egypt. Egypt's the type of the world. Pharaoh's a type of Satan. I mean, there's a lot of typology, but he's to bring His people out, and they come out by the blood of a Passover lamb. They're redeemed by God. But notice what He said, by great judgments. And so you know there are plagues. There are 10 plagues, and here in the book of Exodus, these plagues are judgments upon all the gods, the false gods and idols of Egypt. They had all these gods. One of them was the Nile River. They had many different gods that were linked to the Nile River. Remember, the first miracle turning that river to blood. That was a judgment upon their gods that had to do with that river. Every judgment had to do with the god of Egypt, an idol. There was a judgment upon them. So God's saying, "Here's what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to send you so I can redeem my people out of Egypt by these great judgments." But I want you to look at the overall purpose in the next verse, verse 5. "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring the children of Israel out from among them." God's going to reveal His glory. Not just to the Israelites, but to all of Egypt. Look at another verse. This is going to be your reading tomorrow. In chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Look at verse 17. This is what God says about Pharaoh. The reason God raised up Pharaoh. The reason God allowed his heart to be hardened. "And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." Now it's not just Egypt. He says all the earth. Why did God raise him up? Why? He says here that my name, my glory, my reputation, my honor may be declared throughout all the earth. Remember when Israel, later they're going to go through the wilderness, and so all these people in Canaan, when they get near, they're afraid. They're terrified. Why? They said, "We've heard what your God did to the Egyptians. We heard about the Red Sea." You see, all the earth had heard about this. Remember the story of Rahab and Joshua? What was her story? I mean, we're scared to death. Would you please spare us? We know you're going to win because we heard about your God. How do you think Rahab, by faith, it says in Hebrews, by faith Rahab, how did she have faith in God? Because she heard about him. All of his glory was declared in all the earth. See, God was doing these great judgments. God was redeeming his people for one reason. His glory. He was jealous for his honor and for his glory. I'm going to put this up. God is jealous for his honor and glory, that it be known in all the earth. Like I say, we've just touched just some of the basic verses and truths, but this is what the Scripture is teaching us. God is jealous for his honor, his glory to be known in all the earth. I think it's very clear. Let me put another quote. True evangelism and discipleship always has the worship of Christ among the nations as its ultimate goal. If we're doing true biblical evangelism and discipleship, this must be the ultimate. There's a lot of things involved in that. I mean, proclaiming the gospel, making disciples, maturing these disciples. But the ultimate end of all that is the worship of Christ, the glory of Christ. Does the New Testament support that? I mean, I really wanted to wait and just preach an entire separate. I may even do this next week, but I want to give you some verses because I don't want to leave you hanging. I want you to see that what I'm saying is not just something made up. It's actually taught in the Scripture. If you'll look closely, I'm going to put up some New Testament verses now, and you can turn here if you want. But I'm going to go through them quickly, so you may just want to write them down. But that's why I put them up here. But Matthew 19:29. This is Jesus speaking here. And everyone that had forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Now, I want you to notice these next four words. For my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Notice the motivation for my name's sake. Remember, name speaks of reputation, speaks of honor, speaks of glory, who God is. And so doing it for his glory is rewarded. The next one is Acts 15:14. James, at this council of the church at Jerusalem, he says, Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Why did God take a people out of the Gentiles? It was for his name, for his reputation, for his glory. Romans 1:5. The next one, Romans 1:5, Paul says, by whom, speaking of Christ, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Paul's talking about his apostleship, his being sent to the Gentiles to proclaim the gospel for the obedience to the faith among all nations. But notice, for His name. It was for the obedience to the faith. It was for people getting saved, yes, but for His name. There are more, but I'll give one more. 3 John, just one little chapter there, verse 7 says, because that for His name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. He's talking about these itinerant missionary evangelists that went out preaching, taking nothing of the Gentiles, meaning that they didn't go out trying to raise offerings from the community so they could preach. No, they went out taking nothing. And why did they do it? For His name's sake. For His name's sake. I have an entire message just on these things right here, that through verse after verse after verse, there's where we sometimes don't look at that little "for His name's sake." We just kind of just read over it. We just kind of just brush it aside, and we don't even think about what it means. We just... Why did the New Testament church, why were they engaged in missions? It's for His name's sake. It's for His glory. They're willing to give everything. They're willing to give houses and lands, and they're willing to leave father and mother and brethren, wife, children, for His name's sake. Think about people all around the world today like that. They're willing to lay down their lives for Jesus, for His name's sake. It's not so they can get a name, but it's for Jesus, for His glory, for His reputation. I'll just put this, I've already said this over and over. God's name concerns His reputation, His glory, His praise. See, God is jealous for that. He's jealous for His honor. He's jealous for His reputation. He's jealous for His glory. You don't believe me? Let's look at one more verse. Acts 12. I have to turn there because I didn't put it in the notes. In Acts 12, there is a guy by the name of Herod. He went to Tyre and Zidon. He went there and made an oration to these people. In verse 22 in Acts 12 says, and the people gave a shout saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Isn't that interesting? Here's a man that didn't give God the glory. He took these people's praise that said he was a god. God struck him down. Why? Because he's jealous for His glory, His reputation. He won't share His glory with anyone. And God is the only one that can do that and not be selfish. He's the only one that's worthy of that. He's the only one that can be zealous about His own glory, but yet be so loving. Because God's perfect. It's amazing. If I was all about my glory, you'd think, "Oh, what a selfish guy, man. He don't love nobody but himself." You can't say that about God, can you? Last question. Are you jealous for God's glory? Are you jealous for God's reputation? For God's praise? Does it anger you when people use God's name in vain? Does it anger you when Christians, in a righteous way, does it disturb you, anger you, make you jealous when Christians don't give God the glory? It should. When God's people are astray and not, when they're lukewarm, I mean, we should be jealous in a godly jealousy for them, to want to go and help them get back to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2, that's what Paul said to that church there. I think it's 11:2 or 11:3. He said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Those are the very words he used. He's talking to a church. He said, for I have espoused you to as a chaste virgin to Christ. He was jealous over that church. He, with a godly jealousy, he wanted them to be faithful to Christ. He was consumed with the jealousy of God in his own heart for God's glory, for God's name. I just want to say that, because this is, I'm tying this to our missions, Kaufman's coming up, that this is the foundation of missions. The ultimate is for his name, for his glory. If we're really jealous for God's glory, you know what? We're going to be thinking about, for example, we have Troy Warren, they're going to North Africa, so I have to be careful about that. So anyway, we should be zealous or jealous about those people seeing the glory of Christ and knowing him and worshiping him. Be jealous that there's a people taken from that area where Islam is 99.9%. I mean, it's just almost all Islamic. To have a people there giving glory to Christ. You see what I'm saying? I mean, how it applies to missions and how he says, go and declare his glory among the heathen. We should be jealous for God's glory. I believe this reason why is because it's a strong, strong emotion. If we really were jealous for God, for his name, for his glory, it could be a powerful thing. Because, you know, we act on emotions. You're angry, you're going to act on it, ain't you? The jealous, you act on it. Father, we thank you so much for giving us something to meditate on. It's really it's not a new truth. It's all over the Bible, but it's an uncommon truth today. It's not something that's just proclaimed from the housetops. We don't hear much about your jealousy being preached, how you're jealous over your people because you're a loving Father. You love us so much. And you know that idols are destructive to us and that idols cannot meet the needs in our lives and that only you can meet the needs in our lives and our hearts. And so you're jealous over us because of your love, and you want our complete devotion, loyalty. But Lord, ultimately it's because you're jealous for your name, your glory. You want your children to magnify your name in their lives, to be as lights and for people to see the glory of Christ and change lives, and lives that are in stark contrast to what people see in other people around the world. They see something different. They see love and mercy and grace and compassion and these different attributes of Jesus. They see the love of Jesus, and they see the glory, and they see how beautiful Jesus is, and that he's changed this sinful, selfish person into a selfless, Christ-like person. Lord, I know that's what you're jealous for. You want to see us Christ-like, and you want to see other people to see your glory, not just here, but all over the earth. You want people to see your glory. You want to be worshipped in every language. You want to be worshipped from every tribe, from every nation, all across the world. You're so jealous for your namesake. Lord, help us to have that. This is a communicable attribute that this is an emotion that we can have. We can have godly jealousy. Lord, help us to have that for your name's sake. I pray. Amen.